نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد، وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، respected brothers, sisters, whoever's listening, and whoever will listen to this درس after it's been recorded. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Apologies for the slight, a few minutes delay in starting. We'll go straight into the Maktub, as was promised, which is Maktub 62, Volume 1. Of Mujaddid al-Thani Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi's Makatib. What's important to bear in mind, in fact, before we proceed, if you don't have the Maktub open in front of you, then try and open it. And if you don't have access to it, then you can go on this link, which I'm about to put on the website. Ya Allah Ya Kareem. And on there, on this website, when you go on the section which has literature on it, just copy and paste that. So you'll see the drop-down boxes, and you'll go into, after About Sheikh, Articles. If you go into Articles and you see recent articles, it would say a summary of Tasawwuf and its key objectives and methodology in the Naqshbandi Mujaddidi Tariqah, 19th of February 2024. Click on that, inshallah ta'ala. It will bring up the maktub that we are studying of Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala, the English translation that we had the tawfiq to do some time ago. Anybody has a problem with that, then they can type it. Let me know, inshallah ta'ala. Let me just get the exact link copied. Make it easier for you, inshallah. So this is the actual link. What I've just posted now. That was the website. So this link will take you directly to the maktub. It's important that you bring up the maktub, otherwise it'll be very tricky and difficult for you to follow what's being said. Okay, inshallah ta'ala. Just typing a simple yes. Has everybody got that maktub open in front of them? We have one affirmative. Okay, so those, it seems that only Mufti Zahir has one more. Okay. And so this is not a lecture, this is an interactive dars. In my humble experience, when the one teaching and the one studying interact, it is much better and we retain much more rather than just listening. There's obviously an amount of listening, but we want some active question. That's why we encourage that. So, okay, we've got three that have got it. And Sohel, yourself, have you got the maktub open? When we were studying about 20 years ago, with one of our shuyukh, Sheikh Hassan Ahmed Makki, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was one of the Sufi mashayikh of Makkah Mukarramah, he'd memorized the Quran in 3.5 months. Sorry, 5.5 months. He memorized the Quran in 5.5 months. And he was a qari of Qirat Ashara, which he mastered in 3 days. He used to do seven Umrah is a day 7, or Umrah is a day. He's to go put on his ihram, Masjid Aisha, the Na'im, make his niyyah, proceed for Hajj, complete his tawaf, sa'i, and come out of ihram. And then he would go put on Masjid Aisha again, put on his ihram again. He would do this 7 times, 7 umrahs a day for many years. That Shaykh, when we studied with him in person, we studied with him in person. And then in those days, there was no Zoom, Teams, Messenger, per se, FaceTime. None of this thing was available. But we did have Skype. Some of you who are older may remember Skype. It was later brought out. Khair. So on Skype, as a Shaykh would come live, he would teach me both Arabic and Tajweed, Qira'ah, and so forth, right? And we'd spend 2, 3 hours online every day. And this continued for over a decade. And then when we'd see him in Makkah Mukarramah, or he would come to the UK, we would study with him again. But one thing that he would do is, he had, this was one-on-one, but he would also do sessions with other people, with more than one person. So selfless. Imagine giving so much time to one person. That's why I always say that the ulama, the mashayikh, the sufiya, the awliya, the friends of Allah that we have seen, that we have stayed in the company of through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as such, who were never concerned about numbers, popularity, followers, how many likes, none of that. We always make the niyyah that even if it's one person, we will do exactly like our shuyukh used to do. Because the aim is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only recently, one of the great shuyukh, Allahu Akbar, Shaykh Nafis rahimahullah ta'ala, Qadri Tariqa, he was saying, he passed away, but I read his malfoz. He said that work which we think is great does not make it great. So many things I've built a masjid, that's a great act. No. So many things that I've done, Hajj, it's a great act. No. Not necessarily. So many things I've given half of my wealth in charity. Great work. No. I've helped so many people. Somebody swore at me and I didn't swear back. Somebody's talking bad about me, I didn't do something. These are all good action. But only if it's done for the sake of Allah. And what the Shaykh was saying was, actions are only great or small depending on the level of ikhlas and sincerity in it. If we do something small, like moving a twig or a stick or a piece of litter in the street, doesn't matter if it's not outside our house or masjid. It may be outside a non-Muslim's house, non-Muslim street. But if we do something, remove something that is of discomfort to other people, then that, and we do it solely for the sake of Allah, that becomes a great thing. And somebody can build 10 masajid and 10 orphanages, and yet they do it so that the people will say, look how many masajid he's built. Look how much he or she has given in charity. Then that will become nothing. So Sheikh Hassan, Alhamdulillah Ali, he used to have a few students online. This is the point that I was trying to make. And when he would see somebody who wouldn't reply to a question on Skype, then he would say that it seems that they've logged it in and they've gone to make themselves a cup of tea. So this jumla, this whole story I told for this jumla, so that you can appreciate who the person in the background of the person was, the caliber of the Wali of Allah who made this comment to us. That he would dedicate his time to us for Makkah Mukarramah, the holiest place on earth. And some people would come online, but they'd also make their cup of tea on the side. That's not adab, that's against adab. Because ultimately, being in a dars or not does not mean a person will benefit. Being there attentive with adab is a person who will benefit. There were many people who sat in front of Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, But not all of them became the greats, like the Imam Baqi ibn Makhlad al-Andalusi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who traveled on foot from Spain all the way to Baghdad just to learn hadith from Sheikh Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal. And then he became who he became because of sacrifice. Many online learning after COVID has become such that people are eating Maltesers, crisps, they've got their food, plate of pasta in front of them, and they're also interactive and mashallah. They're not going to learn anything, not a word. And even if they learn and memorize what the sheikh is saying, what the teacher is saying, they will still not, it will not translate and transform them, which is the objective. They will transform their ruh and their heart and bring it close to Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khair, that was Batore Tamheed. That was by way of introduction. What's important is that everybody has the maktub open in front of them, inshallah ta'ala. So let's proceed now. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We've done the first paragraph, gone through it in some detail, the second paragraph and the third. And we're coming on to some of the latter part of the maktub, this letter, this epistle. I'll just quickly read the first that paragraph again, because questions were asked about it. However, the jazba that is granted after the completion of suluk and the tasfiyah, which is after having achieved tazkiyah, remember tazkiyah meaning the purification of the nafs, and the tasfiyah is the purification of the qalb. Why is it important, tazkiyah, tasfiyah? The truth is, you can call the purification of the heart tazkiyah, and you can call the purification of the nafs tasfiyah. It doesn't matter. You can call the purification of the heart furfiyah. It's a word I've just made up. Doesn't matter. Words don't matter. They're just tags to be able to easily identify something. What matters is the content therein. Understand that well. A lot of people get lost in wahdatul wujud, wahdatul shuhud, fana baqa. These are just terminologies, words, huruf, letters put together, coined to be able to identify something. And it's the same in everything in the dunya. Let me give a couple of examples. In the kitchen, in everybody's home, you have jam jar or peanut butter or sugar, salt and pepper, right? In our home, I'm sure many homes, you have spices, and those spices are divided into various bottles or containers, and it has written on there, this is ground coriander, this is pink salt, this is ground pepper, this is garlic powder, this is ginger powder, whatever these things are, turmeric, whatever the spices are, these are just examples. Now, it doesn't matter if turmeric is called turmeric, does it? Turmeric can be called garlic, but it'll still be turmeric. And garlic powder can be called turmeric, but it doesn't matter. It will still taste and will have the same effect as garlic does. Names do not have any effect when naming things, apart from when we name people, because that has a spiritual effect on people. Allahu Akbar. So, but here Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala has amazingly has defined and separated and made it easy for us, you and I, to be able to understand the two aspects of purification and cleanliness that are required for the ruh to become tahir, pure, and so that it becomes in union with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a physical union, but a union where there's no hindrance, no hijab between bayn al-abd wa bayn Allah, between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that he or she is able to receive the blessings that are constantly coming down. When they're in salah, they get the full faith and spiritual benefit, the mi'raj of the mu'min that salah is supposed to be. They get that. They get the full benefits of these wonderful, amazing, most holy, most sacred ayyam of Hajj, of Dhul Hijjah, that we're currently in. When they go to Makkah Mukarramah, they're able to feel, and their ruh is able to attract and absorb all the nur of that blessed place. And when they're in Medina Munawwara, in front of Imam al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, Khatim al-Nabiyyin, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they're able to connect their heart with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is alive there. And they are able to, some people are even able to present themselves there. The main thing is being able to gain the benefit. Remember a few durus ago, I gave the example. These things are happening, whether we like it or not. Whether straight after this dars, we switch on our favorite TV program, Netflix, Amazon Prime, or get back onto our friends and chat about the most nonsense thing that are not going to benefit the dunya, not going to benefit our neighbors, our community, fellow human beings. It's not going to stop the atrocities in the world, and it's not going to take us anywhere closer to Allah, Azza wa Jal, and it's not going to make us any closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the objective. Drawing close to Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We may do all of these things, right? And if it doesn't change us, what we're studying, then what benefit is it? It's not just about learning terminologies. It's about how we implement these things into our lives properly. So Mujaddid al-Thani, rahmatullah alayhi, he's talked about two aspects of purification here. One is that of the qalb and one is that of the nafs. And there's also aql as well, which a later Mujaddid, a later Naqshbandi Mujaddid, the great scholar of Islam, regarding whom there's no ikhtilaf, there's no difference of opinion between anybody, that he was a wali of Allah, that he was an alim, that he was a muhaddith, that he was a qari. And many believe that he was a Mujaddid. Who are we talking about? Al-Shah Waliullah, al-Muhaddith, al-Dahlawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Naqshbandi, al-Hanafi. He later expounded further the teachings of Mujaddid al-Thani, rahmatullah alayhi, as many hundreds of years had passed, and he explained it as is befitting that time and that era. And that's why, though Mujaddid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, is the Mujaddid of the millennium, of 1,000 years, yet every mujaddid that came after him, he should be studied and his works should be studied so that people can draw benefit in a distilled format. So here Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi speaks about tasfiyah and tazkiyah. They're interchangeable in the sense that, as I said, you call a rose by any other name, it still smells the same, right? Names and terminologies are just easy to define so you can pick things out. Same with illnesses and diseases. Calling something a pneumonia doesn't make it pneumonia if it's a pain in your leg. You can call that pneumonia, but it allows us to identify, okay, pneumonia is that illness which is referring specifically to the respiratory system of a human being, right? And so on and so forth. So tasfiyah, the Shaykh is speaking, Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala, that the jazba that is granted after the completion of suluk, suluk referring to, suluk means path. The jama'a, the plural for path, is paths in English. And in Arabic, suluk, its jama'a, its plural is masalik. So suluk is that path which takes us closer to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this particular terminology being used here is in regards to the purification of the nafs. You have the suluk of the qalb, and you have the suluk of the nafs. The suluk of the qalb is the asbaq of the dhikr of every tariqah, the 35 lessons of the Naqshbandi tariqah, the various forms of dhikr and adhkar and muraqbah and bas and fas and breath dhikr, breathing dhikr and muraqbah, ma'iyyat, muraqbah, du'iyyah, Muraqbah Maut, Bara Tasbih, Dawazda Tasbih, Pas and Fars, the Dhikr Jahri, all of these Athkar of the Chishtiyah Tariqah, and Haq Allah, Allah Haq, all these different Athkar of the Suhwardiyah Tariqah, Rifa'i Tariqah, these different methodologies, these are the syllabus, the Suluk of the Qalb. The Suluk of the Nafs is, as we've been discussing in some detail, Alhamdulillah, is to eradicate, is to remove the obstacles which prevent us from worshipping Allah and being a true servant of Allah 24/7. Those are the things that stop us, the obstacles, and they're all in the nafs. For that, Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi has defined, categorized 10 maqamat, maqamat ashra. These maqamat, in and of themselves, their opposite is the maqam. So for example, the removal of the opposite is the maqam. For example, hirs, greed, avarice, constant desire to have more, better than competition, better than our next door neighbor, better than my friends. My friend has this watch, I want that watch, more expensive, better. For females, clothes, handbags, jewelry, or something that everybody's involved in, I see, is one father came to see me a few months ago now, and he said, an Arab brother, and he said, you have to tell my sons that they're always telling me to buy them a new mobile phone. And he's 15 and the other one is 13. And I can't afford to give them the mobile phone, or they don't need one, something like that. So everybody, why do we need a new mobile phone? Not because of functionality, because all of a sudden we are now doing something so difficult in our work, in our helping the ummah and humanity, that we need various tools and platforms on our phone, which this one doesn't service. It's simply because we don't want to pull out an old phone. People have this illness that they don't want to show an old phone. So to please people for status in the eyes of others, we do many things. So hirs is this greed to have things. It could be to have physical things, sexual things, to do with appetite, to do with food, to do with drink, to do with clothes, cars, anything of the dunya. That's avarice, that's greed, that's hirs. To remove that excessive greed, hirs, not the natural desires. The natural desires, for example, natural sexual desires, they're to be fulfilled in marriage, in a halal way. When we're not Christianity, where there's about celibacy and you become closer to God if you're celibate, nothing like that. Islam is a very natural religion. It's a way of life ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the perfect model, which was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who himself married and showed us what it's like to get married. He married those women who've not been married. He married divorcees. He married those who had previous children. He had shown a full way of life, that all of these things are acceptable and pleasing to Allah, and none of them are an impediment in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hirs that we're talking about to remove is the excessive haram hirs. That, once it's removed through mujahida, through training and advice from the sheikh, not from self-analysis. Okay, tomorrow I won't look at whatever's being sold on Amazon or eBay, or some people are using Temu or whatever these social media and online stores, or I won't look at cars. This isn't self, this is self-prescribing. This is self-delusion. It's fooling oneself. The reality is to be under, to tell the sheikh that this is what I'm feeling. The sheikh then advises, this is what you need to do. Not simply don't do it. Everybody knows not to do something haram. How do we do that? How do we stop ourselves from committing haram? That's the method called tariqah. That's the tariqah. Some people think the tariqah is my sheikh, his sheikh, his sheikh. That is also part of the tariqah. But this isn't a cult. We're not, tasawwuf is not a cult where it's everybody should just get together on a certain day to do dhikr and then that's it. It's about practically what can I learn from the sheikh, take away, implement in my life, so I can personally, individually get close to Allah. Allah created me. Allah breathed in His ruh, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah breathed in of His own spirit into each and every one of us individuals. Allah wanted us to exist. Then Allah gifted us with iman. Then He made us ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then He brought us to love and revere His close, precious, valuable, beloved Servants, meaning the awliya Allah, he brought us to path of tariqah. How many blessings this is. So how special we are. Do we need other people to make us feel special? Do we need more things to make us special? This is what Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah is saying, that to remove hirs achieves, it automatically achieves the maqam of qana'ah. Qana'ah is one of the maqams. So everything in the dunya is recognized by its opposite. Night is recognized by its opposite, which is the day, hot and cold, small and big, right? Narrow and wide. Everything in the dunya is recognized by its opposite, light and dark, whatever it is. Similarly, in here, in these terminologies, to understand the haqiqah, the reality, the opposite of the blameworthy attribute, akhlaq, the akhlaq is the jama'ah of khulq. Khulq means attribute, characteristic. Akhlaq is the jama'ah of the plural, akhlaq al-zamima, not akhlaq al-zamima. That's in Urdu, Asian languages, akhlaq al-zamima, blameworthy attributes, those characteristics that are regarded as non-conducive to harmony in the person's own life and in their family and their society. Because why do people commit crime? Because these illnesses that go beyond even the normal boundary for non-Muslims. Somebody wants to commit haram, they will force themselves onto people. Sexual assault, what is it? It's a crime based on that. Stealing something, stealing mobile phones, stealing money, defrauding somebody. All of these things are why? Because of greed. And then the greed is related to having things, achieving things. Again, for what? So for pseudo status in society. So it's a vicious circle. To remove that, as soon as that's removed, alhamdulillah, a person has got qada'ah. They know that I will change my shoes when my shoes have a hole in them. They know that I will change my watch once my watch breaks. I'll try and get it fixed. But if the fixing of it is more expensive than changing it, then I'll change it. They don't feel the need to collect, they're not hoarded. So this is very important. Suluk, the 10 maqamat, are achieved. How is it achieved? It's achieved by being honest with the sheikh, one's personal, confidential, spiritual GP, and to say to them, I never used to lie, I'm lying now, what should I do? I never used to talk about people behind their back, but I find I'm doing it now. I was never rude to my parents or family members before, but I find that I am now. I'm short with them, I can't stand them. Whatever these things are that we go through, we have to explain that. And the Shaykh not only makes dua, but also gives practical remedies. And along with that, the dhikr does not cure the diseases of the nafs. Then dhikr muraqabah does not cure, it only temporarily suppresses the disease in the heart. And people who think that they've achieved something because now they don't have the desire for haram, they used to watch cinema and they used to love gossiping, now they don't have that desire. And they are practically coming closer to Allah, reading more Quran, doing more dhikr, going to work, school, college, university, whatever it is that they're doing. And at the same time, they feel that they're close to Allah. And they've only been doing muraqabah or dhikr for a few weeks or a few months. And they think they've achieved it. And that's what Mujaddid al-Thani is saying, this whole maktub, that the jazba, or the jazb that's achieved at the after completion of suluk, and that purification of the heart, tasfiyah, which is achieved after the purification of the nafs, which is sarfillah. Sarfillah is the journey towards Allah. Now, where's Allah? Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing? That's not the question. Sir fillah, Allahu Akbar. Sir ilallah, the journey towards Allah, is the journey of removing the obstacles of the nafs so that we can recognize Allah, so we can draw benefit from all the fuyud and barakat and the nur that's constantly descending at blessed moments that we talked about earlier, such as Dhul Hijjah, Ramadan, Ashura, and all of the blessed days, Jumu'ah, times of prayer when we recite the Quran, these are the kalam of Allah. Why is it the kalam of Allah does not change our heart? Why does the kalam of Allah not make us weep? When Allah says in the Quran that those who recite, when the verses are recited to them, wajalat qulubun, that their hearts tremble. Why is it that we don't have that feeling? Many reverts, when they took their shahada, we've, alhamdulillah, we've been fortunate to be a witness or be a means. Allah is the one who guides for many people taking the shahada. And what we always, it's a very emotional thing for, at least for me, when I see that, because at that moment I see that this woman, this man, Allah loves them so much. Allah's taking them out of a pure, different life into a purely heedless life, into a state of dhikr and love. And now they're absolutely sinless, like the day the mother gave birth to them. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, illa alhamd. Ya Allah, Ya Kareem. The journey towards Allah is removing the obstacles, these opposites of the maqamat. So, hirs. Somebody's lazy. They know they should get up for tahajjud. They know the fajr is very early now. They know they can read tahajjud at midnight if they want to, or they can get up half an hour early before fajr, whichever one of you look at. They know they can do that, but they don't want to do that. It's laziness. The opposite of laziness is maqame riyadh. Riyadh just means to strive and struggle. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَيَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ صُبُلُنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So this is a journey towards Allah. Towards what? Towards being able to receive the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the obstacles are removed, when a person recites salawat and salam, they feel they're with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're not just going, Allahumma salli. They feel, Allahumma salli. Who am I reciting salawat and salam for? Which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For whom am I reciting? Why is it when the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said, we do not recite salawat and salam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, when he famous hadith, when he mounted the minbar, and three times he said Ameen, nobody was there, no du'a was made, apparently. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, we have not seen this before when you said Ameen three times. He said, Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibril Amin came to me and he made dua, three duas. Oh, that person be cursed and be removed from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who, when your name is recited, does not say, does not send salawat and salam. Who finds the month of Ramadan and is unable to gain emancipation from the fire of hell and entry into the gardens of Jannah. And one who finds one or both his parents in old age, and through serving them with love, patience. These are my words, elaborating on the hadith. Words and with patience and serving them with kindness and with humility, that he does not earn or she does not earn their place in paradise. Whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, that doesn't even matter. Just being the fact that they're your parents. In another hadith, reciting salawat and salam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-bakhil, al-bakhil, al-bakhil, the stingy, the miserly one, al-ladhi is who? Man dhukirtu, in front of whom my dhikr is done. Man dhukirtu indi, man dhukirtu indahu, falam yusalli alayhi. Al-bakhil al-ladhi." Allah, Allah, Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Kareem. Al-bakhil alladhi man dhakirtu 'indahu lam yusalli 'alayhi. That the miserly one is who, in front of whom my name is recited or said or spoken, and does not send salawat and salam upon me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, some people, they start in a dars or a talk, and they start saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning when the imam or the teacher or the one giving the lecture says it. And during it, then they go silent, and it goes quiet again. Then it's like, I've done my bit. That's the nafs. That's the laziness of the nafs. We're so lazy because we claim ishq and love of the Prophet, so we don't really have it. So we have to remove these barriers. And once these nafs, illnesses of the nafs are removed, then what ends up happening is a person is maybe very far away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically, but they're with him. One of our teachers, rahimullah ta'ala, he had pain in his joints and his knees. In England, one of the great shuyukh, rahimullah ta'ala, Yusuf bin Sulaiman bin Qasim, rahimullah ta'ala, what he did is he started drinking vinegar, drinking water, lukewarm water with vinegar. And he would drink that because he knew the vinegar is something beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In many ahadith, its virtues has been, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's like for vinegar, for fanghar, as it's known in Arabic. He liked it. In Urdu, we call it sirka. So this vinegar, you have different types of vinegar, apple cider vinegar, malt vinegar, white vinegar. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, a house in which there is a home where there is vinegar, they have a curry, meaning it's a dish by itself. Khair, it has many benefits, though the pharmaceutical industry and its billions and its trillions and its hired celebrity speakers and doctors, they will always say that there's no benefit in these, it's just all wives' tales. But we believe the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khair, the sheikh, he implemented this. He said, I used oils, ointments, rubs, nothing helped me with my knee pain. And he was a very fit and healthy senior sheikh in his 70s, but very fit and healthy. He would never overeat, never overindulge. He would walk every day, brisk walking, slim man. What he did is he did implemented this for about 2 weeks. All his pain went away. All his pains, his clicking, everything went away. So he then gave it to his family and others to start. A man phoned him, somebody who knew him. He phoned him and said, Sheikh, last night I saw Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. And he said, tell قل لي ليوسف, it was in Arabic, he said, قل لي يوسف عليك بالسركة. Tell Yusuf, say to Yusuf, قل, say to Yusuf, عليك, stay steadfast upon vinegar, meaning sirka. And the Prophet ﷺ in the dream used the Urdu word with the Arabic. Obviously, the Prophet ﷺ spoke in the dream, he can speak in any language, but he spoke in Arabic. But then at the end, he said the word sirka instead of fanghar. So Sheikh Yusuf, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, nobody knew I was using this remedy, not even my family members, not at that point when the phone call came. After that, and then the man was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So who informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why am I telling this story? Because only a few weeks ago, alhamdulillah, I do this amal as well. There's an immense benefit in this. You should start it as well. You don't need permission for this to start this. If it benefits Muslims, people, we want people to benefit. Lukewarm water on an empty stomach in the morning for all clicks and pains. It is extremely beneficial. After 3 days, you'll notice the benefit, but do it for at least 14 days. And if you have children, you should give them on salad dressings, vinegar, and incorporate vinegar. Despite its, smell and its pungent, aroma, right? Allahu Akbar. Alayka bisirka. So how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why was he so concerned to tell Sheikh Yusuf that you should stay and stick to vinegar? Out of his love for him. He knew, just like he knows all of us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our deeds are presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have to, but those who have the hijabat of their nafs removed, they have a special connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They receive messages from him. Right, khair, sair ilallah is the journey to Allah. Sair filla, Mujaddid Alif Thani Rahmatullah is saying that the true jadd that's granted after the purification of the heart and the nafs, the qalb and the nafs, that is the stage of sair filla, meaning the journey in Allah. And there's no journey in Allah physically. That would be shirk. But the journey in Allah means just as Allah is infinite, This is a very important point. Do pay attention, inshallah. Very subtle, but those, inshallah ta'ala, everybody's intelligent here, they'll pick it up, inshallah. Journey in Allah, sirfillah, is a journey in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his attributes, and because Allah is infinite, the attributes are infinite. What does this mean, journey in the attributes? Does Allah not say, Sibghatullah wa man ahsana sibgha, that the color of Allah, and what can be better than the color of Allah, the loan of Allah, the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's this color? It means muttasif, being muttasif with the bil akhlaq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being, for example, it will be easier to understand this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, right? Al-Kareem. Al-Kareem actually means the one giving has the ability to give without the person being given actually deserving the thing being given. That's Kareem. Who deserves what Allah gives us? We don't deserve anything. Day and night we're sinning. Day and night we're sinning. And then Jumu'ah, or maybe on Eid or Ramadan, we fool ourselves by putting on our Islamic clothing that we are actually very, very good Muslims. We're far from Islam on our day to day. So this generosity, when a person becomes more generous, when they give to people even that they don't deserve it, giving to people you love and care about, that's the easy part. Giving to people things that belong to you, giving charity, helping people that you don't like, that's the difficult part. Allahu Akbar. That's when you start having a resemblance to the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had the closest and the best akhlaq in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person wants to be patient, patience has many different aspects. Patient, a person wants to commit haram, a sin. Person wants to lie, exaggerate. A person stops himself from doing so. This is also sabr. This is called sabr anil ma'asiyah. This is sabr when it comes to not committing sin. This is sabr. And Allah is ma'as-sabireen. Allah is with the patient. Patience from stopping oneself from doing haram, sinning. Then, sabr anil ibtila. Sabr when it comes to a trial or tribulation, a suffering, something difficult that we're facing, that sabr is also beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And sabr when we want something and we don't get it immediately, or it's replaced with something, saying a dua. All these kinds of sabr is good, but Allah has the infinite sabr. Allah is of sabr. Allah has the infinite amount of patience. Is it, can we be patient with somebody that swears us every day? Can any of us be patient with those who swear on our parents? Can we be patient with anybody that thinks badly of our children or our family members? And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa jalla, he is so patient that people ascribe partners to Allah. They say he's taken a son. They say he's taken daughters. They ascribe the deity and the rububiyyah and the power and the strength and the uluhiyyah, the godness, to other created beings, which belongs only to wahdahu, wahdahu la sharika, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet Allah does not destroy them straight away. Allah says in the Holy Quran that what they have said, meaning the Christians, what they have said is a great buhtan, is a great lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's taken a son. And the stars, the sky is about to burst and tear and rip open, and the mountains are ready to be crushed at the magnanimity, the severity, shall we say, the severity of what they have said, what they've uttered. So Allah is as-sabur. So we should also, when a person is colored in the color of Allah,
In Sarfillah, a person is able to bear the difficulties that other people give because they know that Allah is the one who's controlling everything. Allah is not the one doing it, but Allah knows my state. If I'm trying to do good and tomorrow somebody's not good towards me, so be it. I'm not going to get upset that why does this person love me? Why does this person not like me? The shuyukh, students come and go. Very few sincere people stick it out because they really want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want wasal ila Allah. But the Shaykh doesn't get upset who comes today, who goes tomorrow. He makes dua for everybody because he's doing it for the sake of Allah. Similarly, a person remains patient if somebody is bad towards them and leaves their affair with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very high rank. This is tawakkul also. Tawakkul ala Allah. Having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this jazbah that is granted, this constant desire to please Allah that's granted, this shawq, this desire, this love of Allah that's granted at the end, after the completion of the tazkiyah, the purification of the heart, through regular dhikr, regular contact with the shaykh, and tazkiyah of the nafs, through purifying the desires, the evil desires of the nafs, then a person reaches sarfillah, where a person's progress is infinite, depending on their lifespan, because how far somebody goes in this is dependent on their effort. Because Allah's sifat are infinite. The first jazbah, the Shaykh goes on to say, the first jazbah, the initial jazbah, and the tasfiyah of the qalb is only to facilitate in making the path easier. We've discussed that at length, that it allows you to do the mujahid, because the islah of the nafs can only be done through effort. Without traversing the path of suluk, Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullahi says, the task, wasulillah, look, that same word that we just used a moment ago, wasal. Wasal means union with Allah, but not in the physical sense, meaning closeness, ma'iyya, huduri. These are the same words, synonyms, similar words for the same word, wasulillah, is not accomplished. And without achieving the manazil of suluk, the 10 maqams, what does all of this mean? What does this all mean? Let's put it in simple words. Wasul ila Allah means a person has achieved nafs mutma'inna, the content soul, meaning it's content Islam with Allah's ahkam, Allah's laws. The Quran says do this. The hadith tells us to do this. The nafs says don't want to do it. It's okay. Sheikh Google has said that I don't have to do that. A wudu is broken. I don't have to renew the wudu with water. I can do tayammum. No, it's not permissible under the circumstances. You haven't even looked into what is permissible. When is tayammum permissible? But the person, because of their nafs, they do that. When all of these obstacles, hijabat, veils, barriers, are removed from the nafs, and it feels content that I want to do whatever Allah wants me to do right now. I want to speak whatever Allah wants me to speak right now. I will look at only what Allah wants me to look at right now. I will touch only that which Allah wants me to touch right now. I will eat only that which Allah wants me to eat right now. Not fooling ourselves. Allah's giving me this food. Allah wants me to eat right now. And from morning till night, all we're thinking about is the next milkshake, next burger, next food, the next gourmet meal. Whether it's Uber Eats or Just Eat, well, what are we going to order today? When are we all going to go to that dessert lounge, new one that's opened up? What is this? This is the nafs, 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 nafs. Right? When this is removed, then a person, as Allah says in the hadith, a person, Allah becomes his hand with which he touches, his eyes with which he sees, his feet with which he walks. What does this mean? Does this mean hulul? Allah comes into the person? No. It means a person is then becomes a vessel for Allah. It becomes a vessel for his creator. Allah uses him or her for spreading goodness and khayr in the dunya. Mujaddid Alif Thani deems absolute necessary for achievement. This is just my own notes in the letter. I put it in brackets when I translated this. 10 maqams of suluk, which Mujaddid Alif Thani deems absolutely necessary for the achievement of tazkiyah nafs, the beauty of the desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be witnessed. Yuriduna wajha, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. We have a few minutes left. I will start the next sentence, the paragraph, which I promised I would do, inshallah ta'ala. It's the. We only have three paragraphs or so left. Mujaddid al-Thani, rahmatullah alayhi, goes on to say the first jazba in comparison to the second jazba is merely a resemblance form, suratan. Whereas in reality, these two are not even comparable with one another. Therefore, that which the mashayikh of this blessed tariqah, Naqshbandiya, have mentioned in their statements that they have placed the end in the beginning, the bidayah in the nihaya. The nihaya in the bidayah. Yeah, the nihaya in the bidayah. It's easy to remember these Farsi words if it's not that you need to, but bidayah and beginning both have a ba, okay? And nihaya is the end. This is because the reality of the end cannot be contained or comprehended in the beginning, because the nihaya, the end, has no comparison with the bidayah. This subject has been covered in Qutb 287. We covered this as well. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll unpack that a little bit more next time. I want to answer questions because we had many of them, inshallah ta'ala. So what I will do is, in keeping with that promise, there's some questions here. Sister Bint Bu'ali, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts almost all surah with Bismillah, and he taught Adam alayhi salam all the names. Sorry, I realize I'm missing your point. Okay, is that still a question that you want to ask regarding Bismillah? Don't think we spoke about that per se, but just going forward, inshallah, for everybody, it's not just for the sister just now, is that if you can only unmute your mic when I request that, otherwise just type it, inshallah ta'ala, this will be easier. But alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Some of the questions that came up last time, I'm bringing them up from the group chat from the Naqshbandiya Mujaddidiyya, mashallah. Many of you have been asking and discussing points, which is what we want. On the group, we want there to be a discussion for brothers and sisters to discuss things so that we can highlight what needs to be highlighted thereafter. You'll see that from 30th of May, I answered on a number of audios. So now we are here. Brother Dr. Adeshina Ibrahim Isa asked a question. Assalamu alaikum, my respected beloved Sheikh. So with your permission, I would like to ask some questions. Okay. Alhamdulillah, tafaddal. Number one, due to individuals' difference and abilities with suhbah, with Murshid al-Kamal, Mukammil, the word should be Kamil, the Arabic word should be Kamil, not Kamal, Mukammil. Okay. How long on average do one complete the stage of Suluk? Look, it's a good question. There's nothing wrong with the question, alhamdulillah. There's no question that's a bad question. Suluk of the individual depends on the individual. Some people, they don't talk much anyway. You know, everybody has a circle of friends. You always have one friend that's a little bit more quiet than the other friends, right? And someone is very extroverted, very loud, and you know, they always want to be the seen and heard, all the rest of it, right? So that's difference in personalities. Now, for the one that's loud and always wants to be known and wants to be always given a lot of attention and so forth, for that person to remove ego and to remove kibr and ujub, vanity, self-conceit, these raza'il, these blameworthy attributes of the nafs will take longer.